There is much more to say. This is just a starting point. But I'm interested in Bitcoin for its potential to reorient civilization to an existence rooted in truth. If adoption comes at the cost of that, all the number-go-up euphoria means nothing, and most of what gives Bitcoin value will be lost. The best in Bitcoin made audible. I am Guy Swan, and this is Bitcoin Audible. What is up, guys? Welcome back to Bitcoin Audible. We are continuing with episode 2 of Adversarial Week. This is Bitcoin Audible. We cover all of the best written works, reports, ideas, books, all of it in Bitcoin. We read it right on this show, and then we get Guy's take. I am Guy Swan, the guy who has read more about Bitcoin than anybody else you know. Today for Adversarial Week, to challenge Bitcoin and understand that we are not done yet. We still have plenty of work to do. We have an excellent Twitter thread from Michael, or Sovereign Mindset, at Sovereign Mindset, and Sovereign is S-O-V-R-Y-N. I will have the link to his Twitter and the thread in the show notes. Really good follow, definitely recommend. But this is a thread about how to think of where we are in, you know, coming into this new fight. We have entered the then they fight you stage, and I think we need to take that seriously. Memes do matter, you know, spreading the ideas matter, but shitposting on Twitter is not where the front line of Bitcoin is built. That is not how we will have Bitcoin take over the world. We need mining machines. We need someone to design a thing that makes mining so easy at home that people don't even have to know what they're doing. They can plug it in and it just runs on a normal outlet. We need pleb miners. We need privacy tools. We need privacy tools that are so good at what they do that people don't know they're using them. We need to adopt every tool we have at our disposal. We need to hold our own keys. We need to get influence in our local communities. We need to orange pill everybody we can. We need to orange pill our local representatives. We need to explain and be patient with those who are still ignorant of what matters and why Bitcoin is desperately needed. And we need to push back as hard as we can against the technocratic state that is encroaching on our lives right now, because they will control Bitcoin in every way that they can, and they will co-opt it in every way that they can. It is up to us, because no one else is here. We are the only ones. It is up to us to adopt the technology and build the things that make it incorruptible, that make it uncooptable in every way that we can. It is our job, and we either meet the challenge head on, or we say, nah, I'm tired, I'm gonna take a break, and we're gonna let the world close in around us. Now is not the time to sit back and wait for things to play out. The playtime, the practice is over, we are in the game. The machine is not stopping, and we have an opportunity to truly solve one of the biggest foundational problems that we have that is causing all of this mess. And we owe it. We owe it to each other. We owe it to our futures to not let this fight go unfought. Oh, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. We will get all into this in just a minute, and we will read this thread. It gets me riled up. I've read it a couple times now. This is going to be a good one. So real fast, I just want to thank our amazing sponsors for Bitcoin Audible. They keep this show running. Swan Bitcoin is the place to buy Bitcoin. I've been using them for ages, it seems. I don't even know how long. I never want to leave. They got automatic buys, automatic withdrawals, excellent service. It's so simple. And even better educational resources. SwanBitcoin.com/guy will get you over there and check out my canon. And then the Bitcoin 2022 conference, 10% off your tickets with code GuySwan if you haven't gotten them yet. And actually, I have a friend who is trying to offload a ticket because things changed and he is suddenly not able to go, and I'm very sad about it, but he's willing to get a solid discount because, like I said, he's just not able to come. So if you're still looking for a ticket and you hope to get one with even a better discount, hit me up at the guy Swan on Twitter, Swan with two N's. And then lastly, the other sponsor to our show, safe, secure hardware wallet, the Bitbox O2. 5% off your sovereignty in a box with code GUY. All right. That was a long intro. We are getting right into it with today's thread from Michael, and I have decided to title it, "And Then They Fight You." A thread by Sovereign Mindset. I've been flailing recently trying to point people's attention to attack vectors in Bitcoin which have more clearly revealed themselves in light of the Western world's descent into tyranny. Below, I further shed light on my perspective and provide some solutions. My intention is not to FUD or concern troll. I'm simply here to work towards a future where truth and goodness emerge from sound money and free markets. All the wonderful things Bitcoin offers only come about if we keep its monetary principles and network integrity intact. The rhetoric from those that control the apparatus of power and influence in the US and EU has become increasingly hostile. This signifies new territory in Bitcoin's adoption cycle. We are in the "then they fight you" stage, and Western nation-states will be a formidable menace. Tweet from disclose.tv, March 7th, 2022. Just in, Biden set to sign an executive order this week directing federal agencies to examine the potential regulation of cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin, Bloomberg reports. It would behoove those who have an interest in Bitcoin succeeding as a global sound monetary protocol to take these threats seriously, pay attention, and think of the ways in which they can be mitigated so we can take action and make the necessary adjustments. The trend is clear. Governments are clamping down. Bitcoin exchanges, mining operations, and pools will face incoming regulatory pressure. All companies which have a physical presence in the West will face a new top-down controlling regulatory landscape. Tweet from Jesse Powell. 100% yes, it has and will happen, and 100% yes, we will be forced to comply. If you're worried about it, don't keep your funds with any centralized or regulated custodian. We cannot protect you. Get your coins and cash out and only trade peer-to-peer. Bitcoiners will say regulation doesn't affect their node and the software they run. They're right, but on a practical level, regulation from hostile nation-states has the potential to significantly stifle the ecosystem and prolong the transition towards a sound monetary system. Bitcoin mining is particularly susceptible. In North America, the trend is towards centralization. Large corporate mining farms, 2 football fields long with racks 30 feet high, are being built to harness excess power from the grid. These farms are completely exposed to co-option. Hashrate doesn't have to come under the control of government directly. It could come by regulatory proxy. Whitelists and blacklists, which create a registry of government-approved transactions for miners, have been in the works since 2016. The counter-argument I hear is miners will just pick up and move to other jurisdictions. This viewpoint ignores the huge sunk costs of initial capital expenditures, transportation, and downtime. It also dismisses the fiduciary duty these corporations have towards shareholders. The hard truth is mega mining corporations will not only bend the knee to regulations, they will actively seek them out. This happens in every industry with economies of scale. Large players always create a regulatory moat to keep competition out. It's true that regulated mega miners will lose out on fees from non-approved transactions, but the miners will effectively be in a partnership with the government. Favorable treatment such as subsidies, tax breaks, and credits will make up for any fees they lose out on. Pleb nodes could reject blocks from corporate miners, but the rest of the network, including all major exchanges and institutions, won't. And they still hold all the economic gravity. You'll either accept their block, or you'll be on the minority side of a chain split. To quote Marty Bent, "This could be Bitcoin's first true existential crisis. It would make the fork wars of 2017 look like a three-year-old soccer league. Having nation states put this type of pressure on businesses is a massive test." We should not underestimate how fast things can change in reaction to narrative-driven crises. Heavy-handed Bitcoin regulations will be presented as a reasonable solution. This will be particularly persuasive in the aftermath of a climate crisis or a cyber pandemic.
"We all know, but still pay insufficient attention to the frightening scenario of a comprehensive cyber attack, which would bring to a complete halt to the power supply, transportation, hospital services, our society as a whole. The COVID-19 crisis would be seen in this respect as a small disturbance in comparison to a major cyber attack. To use the COVID-19 crisis as a timely opportunity to reflect on the lessons the cybersecurity community can draw and improve our preparedness for a potential cyber pandemic."
As @DavidO16 points out, in a free market, Bitcoin will outcompete all government fiat. But we don't live in that world. We have to contend with nation states. No surprise they would band together to stop that which seeks to rob them of their power. You don't have to take my word for it. This battle has been predicted decades ago in the book The Sovereign Individual. The old guard doesn't like young bucks moving into their territory and claiming it for themselves. The entire space should expect a fight. Excerpt from The Sovereign Individual. "The rise of the sovereign individual will not be wholly welcomed as a promising new phase of history, even among those who benefit from it most. Everyone will feel some misgivings, and many will despise innovations that undermine the territorial nation-state. It is a fact of human nature that radical change of any kind is almost always seen as a dramatic turn for the worse. What may someday be seen as a new renaissance from the perspective of the next millennium will look frightening to tired 20th century eyes. There is a high probability that some who are offended by the new ways, as well as many who are disadvantaged by them, will react unpleasantly. Their nostalgia for compulsion will probably turn violent. Get ready to duck. You must understand and prepare for such unpleasantness. A transition crisis lies ahead. The new information and communication technologies are more subversive of the modern state than any political threat to its predominance since Columbus sailed. This is important because those in power have seldom reacted peacefully to developments that undermined their authority. They're not likely to now." End excerpt. To overcome the challenges, here are some suggestions. 1. Orange-pilling national leaders. 2. Distributed and decentralized mining. 3. Decentralized mining pools. 4. Political coalitions. And 5. Support developers creating privacy tools. 1. The network needs more countries embracing Bitcoin in the same way El Salvador has. This will distribute mining globally away from the Western world and lessen their influence. What Excelion is doing is a good example of the effort it will take. Tweet from Samson Mao. "Today is my last day with Blockstream. It's been a grand adventure working with Adam Back for the last 5 years, and together we've accomplished a great deal from sidechains to mining to satellites. So what's next? I plan to focus on nation-state Bitcoin adoption. We are individually incredibly powerful. Do not underestimate your butterfly effect. A surfer turned a sleepy beach town into a Bitcoin economic zone, which is now morphed into a full-fledged international movement. This is the time to try big things. 2. Plebs should take it upon themselves and get into mining. As S.G. Barber points out, having a distributed network of plebs mining is a heck of a lot harder to control than centralized mega mines. Excerpt from Steve Barber's piece, Elephant in the Grid. Compare how easy it would be for some authority in Texas to slap some arbitrary compliance rule on Riot's Windstone facility, compared to trying to enforce the same rule on the same 750 megawatts worth of individual miners scattered all across the Texas grid. At 3.3 kilowatt per ASIC and 1 ASIC per person, that's 225,000 individual people a regulator would have to enforce the same compliance rule on, whether that's a mining license, permit, tax, royalty, or ban. Good luck finding all those people, let alone enforcing it. Doing so would be extremely costly compared to enforcing one single facility and owner. Making mining more accessible to your everyday laser-eyed maxis is going to be key in distributing and decentralizing mining. Initiatives like the Black Box is a cool project in the right direction. Also, orange-pilling your local utility companies helps. 3. Mining pools are important to independent miners. Problem is, it's a central point of failure that will fall under regulation. To the extent it can be decentralized, it should be considered an initiative that will strengthen network integrity. 4. I'm not a fan of national politics. It feels far removed from any accountability to the people. But as so far as you think you can influence what comes out of DC, any resistance to the coming regulatory crackdown is welcome. Ultimately, I think we can only slow the inevitable. A better approach is local initiatives. We're seeing a trend towards states and counties reclaiming their sovereignty. Orange-pilling local governments can provide barriers to encroaching federal regulations, as Liberty Blitz describes in the write-up below. And 5. Finally, we need to support and actively use privacy tools. The open ledger of the blockchain becomes a major liability when operating in an adversarial environment. I understand the trade-off, but privacy was always a hurdle we would have to overcome. Hal Finney, January 21st, 2009. Looking at ways to add more anonymity to Bitcoin. Nation-states with their corporate partners have effectively weaponized the transparency of the blockchain and are using it as a tool of financial surveillance and repression. Until we've exited fiat completely, this is a huge obstacle to its use as censorship-resistant money. There's much more to say. This is just a starting point, but I'm interested in Bitcoin for its potential to reorient civilization to an existence rooted in truth. If adoption comes at the cost of that, all the number-go-up euphoria means nothing, and most of what gives Bitcoin value will be lost. The Bitcoin protocol may be unstoppable. The honey badger is indeed durable and tenacious, but in practical terms, it can still be limited in its potential impact in shaping the world. Our biggest tests stand before us. To control money is a great power. Those who wield it won't give it up easily. We should not be naive about that. To the extent they can stop it, they will try. To the extent they can co-opt it, they will try. Tweet from Patrick Bet-David. Only the paranoid survive. Always trust the enemy will do everything it can to slow down your progress. The enemy of Bitcoin equals traditional investors heavily relied upon fiat currency plus lawmakers. You need true believers in office. The war hasn't begun yet. Ultimately, I feel the Bitcoin system of sound money will prevail, but the length of the struggle to get there will depend on our actions today. Running a node and shitposting won't cut it. We are going to have to take active measures to strengthen the network. We're entering a chaos period where changes will happen rapidly, and at times, life will become disorienting. We just need to make it through with Bitcoin's monetary principles and network integrity intact, and we will have won. We'll celebrate on the other side. And that concludes Michael's or Sovereign Mindset on Twitter, his tweet thread on the Then They Fight You stage, and what that is probably going to look like. Let's go ahead and hit our sponsor for today, and then I want to get into a guy's take on this piece. Let me tell you about Swan Bitcoin. This is the place to buy Bitcoin. I can literally count on one hand the number of exchanges that go out of their way to tell you to help you withdraw your Bitcoin from their service. And I don't know of any that lets you set it up automatically. I have automatic purchases with low fees and a very simple interface that happens every single week, regardless of the price, and then automatic withdrawals to my keys, to my hardware wallet, whenever it reaches a threshold that I set. And that's not even to mention Swan Private for the high net worth investors. They can get advice on retirement allocation, direct access to the team for any and all questions, and they are happy to walk you through from the absolute very beginning introduction to Bitcoin all the way to being a sovereign user holding your own keys. Swan Bitcoin is simply a company that you are going to appreciate having on your team. Sign up and start stacking, or just check them out and explore the incredible content they have in their Bitcoin Canon series by going to swanbitcoin.com/guy. And my page is over there too with my Canon, with my Bitcoin Canon page, my rabbit hole on what the hell even is Bitcoin. Again, that's swanbitcoin.com/guy. Leave all the noise behind and use the Bitcoin savings service by and for Bitcoiners. Swan Bitcoin. So, this thread was really good, and the one we're going to talk about tomorrow, the article we're going to talk about tomorrow is actually from Steve Barber, which he mentions in this, and it's about the state versus Bitcoin. And it's more specifically, I mean, Barber is a miner, so his perspective on the mining ecosystem is very valuable. And it's more centered around, it's not entirely, but it's more centered around the explicit attacks from the mining ecosystem or from the, and also from the regulatory environment. And that I do believe is the, particularly because privacy is so connected to, if mining is in fact a vulnerability, which it is, then the privacy of the Bitcoin network, or the lack thereof, so to speak, the public nature of everything on the blockchain makes mining a greater risk. And it also makes mining a higher payoff for regulatory capture. But we are without a doubt, if anybody has been paying attention, we are without a doubt in the then they fight you stage. That's why I just grabbed that, and I thought this was a good title, because that is where we are. And it's very important to understand what the risks going into this phase of things are, and also what the risks of being complacent. This is our time to dig in our heels and get ready to push very hard, because we have the momentum and we have the organization, and particularly with another bull run seemingly on the horizon. I mean, I don't want to bet on that, obviously, but it just feels that way. The momentum will continue to reinforce itself, but only if we push with it. We need to move with the wave, and we need to make sure that we are not compromising, that we are not letting a terrible environment get solidified because it's okay to compromise on anything. Like, I do not want any, I would rather see Bitcoin mining be made illegal than Bitcoin mining be only OFAC compliant addresses and some sort of regulatory burden or subsidy in actually trying to reorg blocks that are not. But I fully expect that to be a thing. I fully expect certain jurisdictions to say miners in this jurisdiction cannot mine A, B, or C, or this address of this blacklist of addresses, or all the addresses that are associated with this country, or blah blah blah. They are going to try to do that. The beauty of it is that if these miners are distributed around the world, then they still won't have any option to really reorganize or to orphan the blocks from other countries. It will be, the environment will be too competitive and too spread out. And that's the one thing about all of the mining power, so much of the mining power going to North America, even though it is more spread out than it was in China, it's still concerning the amount that is in the United States, because I do not trust our regulatory environment at all. I think it is fully captured and it is corruption from top to bottom, and any semblance of legitimate seeming or useful regulation is just a shadow of a past in which there was actually a semblance of reason for politicians to be there other than pure corruption, and or the fact that some lobbyist gets some actually half-seeming reasonable regulation passed for the sole sake that they can profit from it massively in some other very corrupt way. I think the whole thing, the whole apparatus now is so unbelievably poisoned that absolutely nothing meaningful gets done because the people want it to get done, but only because some powerful interest is going to make an exorbitant amount of money or increase their control by a very large amount that they wish to have their power by enacting whatever regulation. So I have zero faith whatsoever, and I can't imagine anyone who would see it differently, but, you know, whatever, to each their own. But this is the sort of, this thread does, you know, kudos to Michael. Like, this is the kind of thing that makes me really wish I am more serious about mining, and it's mostly just, you know, there's only so much time in a day, and there's so many projects. There's only so many projects to be able to tackle, and I'm still just fighting with C-Lightning on the command line right now and trying to get my node, my main ClearNet node transferred over, basically, at this point. But, you know, slowly but surely. And I think also one thing to remember, and I said this in yesterday's episode, but you know, I know, like, probably the average listen is, like, 1 in 10 episodes, so I have to repeat myself, forgive me, but try to make small habits. Try to make small, consistent habits and keep up with them. Have it somewhere prominent and commit to just learning or playing with a new Bitcoin tool or a new privacy tool, or just tweeting out to somebody that you know there's a privacy option like payment codes and your favorite wallet doesn't allow payment codes or hasn't implemented it. Tweet it out to them. Make a little noise. Donate to them. Tweet it out to them and then say, here is, like, give me your key send. I'll send you 100,000 sats. Please implement payment codes. That is a significant and simple privacy improvement at the base layer that can help publicly sharing means of payment or ways for people to transfer and send money without having to publicly reveal which ones are your addresses, and then potentially tainting anything else that you're doing, because you know you have transactions that are connected to those wallets. Now they know it's in your vicinity. It's either your other wallet or it's someone who is connected to or doing business with you. This is why I think, you know, I've talked about, like, the hierarchy of importance, that not your keys, not your coins, is, you know, right there at the top, but privacy is right underneath it. And that's because the monetary assurances of not your keys, not your coins, and if we're adding monetary assurances to that list just as a category unto itself, that's number one. So it's monetary assurances and the integrity of the network, then it's not your keys, not your coins, then it's privacy. But what's funny is that the reason privacy is so important, not just in the individual sense that you have the right to privacy, you have the right to selectively reveal yourself to the world for the same reason that your bathroom door is not see-through. You do not have to excuse why you wish to have a basic right. It's not up for discussion. Do not apologize. Do not ask permission to take your basic rights into your own power. Understand that making us afraid is their most important means of control. If we all coin joined all of our UTXOs tomorrow, it would be a freaking nightmare for them to say you can't use coin joined UTXOs. We have power in numbers, and all we have to do is just stand at the line of our basic rights and not move. And we are given the tools. We are lucky enough to have the tools to protect that, to put a wall at that line and say no more. But one of those critically important tools is that we are using and funding and helping to focus on privacy options. We have a hardware wallet, and that we are holding our own keys, that we are spreading the word and orange pilling the people around us. We aren't just assuming that number go up is going to solve our problem. We're going to make them understand the philosophy of it. We are going to make them understand the freedom and the natural rights argument for Bitcoin. And I think they're also in that suggests we should have a little bit more patience with people on the outside. Because if we're constantly just putting people off, we're going to lose some of that momentum. And it's too easy to just be complacent and say, oh, they'll figure it out when they want to figure it out. Now, they're being belligerent and stupid. They can have fun staying poor. But if they're interested but skeptical, be helpful. Understand that most people's introduction to this, the mainstream's knowledge of this, is bullet points, propaganda talking points from the corporate media. Expect to hear that. Don't allow yourself to be defensive. Be okay. No, just be happy when that's not the response you get. When someone doesn't say, but doesn't it use as much power as Finland? If they don't say that, know that you're in a wonderful situation and you're on a great footing and you've started off way better than you ever had the right to do so, or that any of us deserve to. We should have to fight to the worst FUD, and we should learn to argue calmly. And calm does not mean not convicted. In fact, just the opposite. Convicted often comes with being calm. If you just say, oh yeah, I mean, it makes sense that you think that, but this is why this is wrong. And I'll even admit that this is something that I need to work on. I try really hard to be sensible on Twitter, but damn it, it's so easy to just outrage and react tweet, which I think is a net negative. And I'm trying to kind of change my habits and how I interact with Twitter, because A, it's such a addiction. It literally is. It's an addiction. But then in addition, though, is that it degrades very quickly. The more you're on it, you become ever more and more reactionary. And that only fuels the reactionary nature of everybody else's response to that. Now, don't get me wrong. When someone is belligerently anti-Bitcoin and they refuse to listen, go ahead and tear them to pieces. Those people deserve it. But one of the things, you know, I said this yesterday, and I want to make this very, very clear. I think we have a rather amazing tool to push back against this, and we don't really have any other option. Like, this is happening whether we want it to or not. The powers that be are not sleeping on this. The political apparatus, this is something like even the COVID stuff, Like right now, it appears to be there's a lull, and there's not. What they're doing, what seems to be very clearly what is going on right now, is that they're making the appearance of rolling back the vaccine mandates and the vaccine passports for the very like in-your-face sort of things, and that they're, you know, letting people, you know, they're dropping the masks mandates and all of these things, and making it seem like these things are walking back, being walked back. But you notice, you know, they've taken 10 steps forward and they're only taking like 4 steps back. There's a lot that is clearly being made an assumption that this is going to stay. You notice even when like within countries, like the vaccine mandates and the supposed digital IDs and like all of this stuff are apparently being dropped, almost all still have the you can't cross the border. You know, people don't remember passports were a temporary measure for World War II. Digital IDs are not a new thing. They didn't just suddenly pop up because, oh, we definitely need this new system that we've just created because of COVID. This was in the plans for a long time. They've been looking for an excuse to implement digital IDs that are, and a social credit system. This is trying to, China is exporting, or it maybe even worse, maybe we're importing it from China, the social credit score system. This has been the agenda of the WEF and the Davos group for, 7 years now, almost 7 years now. It's been openly discussed. They wrote reports on it. In 2019, they talked openly about how inoculation is such a great way to actually, a great excuse for implementing digital ID. And if you look at the wording, if you look at how these things are written up, notice it is not a, oh, digital IDs and, you know, vaccine passports are a really great way to handle a pandemic, and they're very useful for this. No, it's the other way around. It's that a pandemic and vaccines are a really great way to implement a digital ID. The goal is clearly a digital ID. And all of the incentives and the control and the power that is rewarded from these things is self-reinforcing. This is a feedback loop that is only going to move forward. There's no simple way to stop this outside of exiting and, you know, replacing its foundation, letting them collapse in on themselves, because they have an increasingly splintering world. And that's why I like Michael's suggestion of going local. Try to orange pill your local officials. Make local groups and be active, because where politics is actually close to you, it actually responds. You're actually far more connected to it, and they feel your presence far more than on a federal level. On a federal level, the individual couldn't matter less. It is the least accountable thing you could possibly be involved in. And when people at that level are openly, and now the president of the United States, Biden, is talking about a cyber pandemic and a horrible cyber attack, and everybody get ready. Klaus has been talking about cyber pandemic. Like, they're already preparing all of the propaganda and all of the words and the fear, the things that they're going to do to drum up fear. Cyber pandemic, like, Jesus, I think they're going to try to permission off the internet. And again, this doesn't even have to be some crazy conspiracy theory with some tight cabal of people that are just running everything. This could just be an incentive structure that can only do anything but keep moving in that direction, because if it doesn't keep grasping for more control, it will collapse. The thing is so out of balance that more control is the only way to stay alive for people in this, at this echelon of the platforms, of the control in society, in the political apparatus. So we either let the ball keep rolling in their direction, or we realize that our job here is to stand up and push in the opposite direction and do every single thing that we can. And Michael has a really good, a single tweet in this that just really was amazing to me. It says, "We are individually incredibly powerful." And just to interrupt that for a second, that is the power of Bitcoin, is to align a vast group of disparate individuals. Bitcoin has solved the Byzantine general's problem. I have seen more disagreement and a greater variety of how people think and what people's worldviews are in Bitcoin than I have in any other in anything else in my life. Everything else is so monotheistic in how it behaves and believes, and I see constant argument and differing of opinions and differing worldviews and people who, you know, go all the way full down the conspiracy rabbit hole and people who believe it's all bullshit. That is a good thing. That is a good thing. If you disagreed with anything that I was just saying about what I think the feedback loop and the inevitable trends of the technocratic apparatus, if you think that's all crazy, good, because you're still here, because you still see and understand the value of Bitcoin, and we can disagree while still aligning to keep this thing alive because we know it's going to be better for everyone. Conspiracy theorist, Republican, Democrat, freedom fighter, privacy advocate, all of us, everyone will benefit from having a sound money that cannot be cheated, that cannot be corrupted. And if we understand anything about the problems today, that is a powerful force, and it aligns disparate individuals. That's a big tangent. That's a big interruption. We'll go back to the quote real quick. It says, "We are individually incredibly powerful. Do not underestimate your butterfly effect. A surfer turned a sleepy beach town into a Bitcoin economic zone, which has now morphed into a fully fledged international movement. This is the time to try big things." If you ever had an idea, a big thing that you wanted to push for, that matters to you, do it now. This next year is going to be the year to make it happen, and is going to be the year that will have the most momentum, and it will make the most difference. Do not underestimate your butterfly effect. I love that line. This fight is not going to be easy. The fight to get rid of corruption is going to be violent, because the corrupt are necessarily violent. But that is what this fight is. It is to build a foundation that is incorruptible. Obviously, corruption will happen on top of it. Obviously, there will still be manipulation. Obviously, there will still be special interests. There will still be any and all types of power that can be grasped around it. But if we can solve something at the foundation, we will have a step function increase in the viability and the access to freedom all around the globe. And that is worth every single thing that we can put toward that end. If you think something will work, if you think something has a chance, push for it. Make it happen. Go local. Try to organize at your local level. Get your meetup. Try to get out. Go to local political meetings. Our job in politics is to just slow things down as much as possible so that the developers can build, so that we can implement, so that we can adopt, and we can beat them to the future. And we can have the future that we want. And they will simply be excluded until they admit that our rights are not up for compromise. They are not on the table for discussion. And we have an asymmetric means of defense. That is the beauty of cryptography, is the ease of creating the wall and the difficulty of breaking through it. That is proof of work. That is public-private key cryptography. And that is the bread and butter of this movement. This is the cypherpunks' fight come to us. And there is a serious, serious opportunity that we could win it. But the last thing we need to do is think that we've already won before the fight even really got started. Do not rest on your laurels. Pick up your tools and get to work. This is that time. And on that, there's actually a lot of other things I need to do. There's a lot of Bitcoin things. I need to get my node up and running. And I need to get serious about having a miner. And I think I'm going to try to figure out how to use miners downstairs to heat the house. We'll see. I'm going to get to move on stuff. I'm going to get to learning a Bitcoin tool. And I'm going to get to working on a video as well. One to destroy the energy FUD in under 5 minutes. I'm going to try to make something that's super shareable. And also enjoyable, hopefully. If I change two minds, you never know. Never underestimate your butterfly effect. So hopefully I'm going to do what I'm good at, and I will catch you guys tomorrow. We're going to get a little bit deeper into this with more specifics with Bitcoin versus the State by Steve Barber. And thanks to Swan Bitcoin, thanks to Bitbox and the Bitcoin 2022 conference for supporting this show. And thank you to the Audionauts. Thank you to everybody who listens. I am Guy Swan. Never underestimate your butterfly effect, and I'll catch you on the next one. You have been listening to Bitcoin Audible, a 111 production.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.